100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Every Sunday, there's this strange and magical thing that happens. I put out a topic, and then all of you gather up your words, glue them together, and speak them aloud with your speaky things, and send them in for the weekly challenge. The weekly challenge for this week is on the topic of river. And there are a lot of people who send in a lot of stories, or a lot of stories sent in by a lot of people if you're into that passive voice thing. I'll tell you what's not passive, and that's the active participation of all you writers. For instance, Thomas. He's got a bunch of stories that he wants to share with you. I'll just step out of the way and let him. No, seriously, here's his stories.
The river of words flowed through my mind, moving quickly, twisting and turning with the currents, bumping against the banks on the way to the river's mouth and the open sea. When I awoke, I would try to remember the words that played tag, bumped into each other, or joined as they wound through the river's course. I would look at the notebook on my night table, squinting to read the rough scratches I made in the night if I awoke from a dream. Some days I would be lucky enough to pour some of these words out on paper. The hobo lived in a shack by the river. As a boy, we'd go down to the river to throw stones and harass the black man that lived in a shanty near the river's edge. We would yell taunts, jump up and down, and run away if he stepped out of his shack. He was something unique, unusual, and unknown that made us do what we did. He was attacked as he fished for his supper. He never yelled at us and kept his head down. I am still saddened and ashamed more than 60 years later. Forgive me, please. In spite of a painful creak in his neck, he was able to put together new lyrics to the tune Old Man River, employing the stream of conscious method he learned at the Little School of Mystery and Heirloom Tomatoes in Boulder, Colorado. A deluge of ideas cascaded through his brain as he constructed new lyrics for the tune as a present for the 44th birthday of the master. The tune began with the words, "Old Guru Larry, that old man Larry, he must know something, but he doesn't say nothing. He just keeps meditating. He keeps on meditating alone." Thank you to Joni Mitchell for the idea that inspired this next little piece. I wish I had a river that I could canoe away on. A long, blue, sparkling, clean river full of jumping fish, flashes of blue herons, and folks picnicking on the banks in straw hats, playing with their children and the family dog. A surprise around every corner. I wish I had a river straight and easy to paddle, a light current that would carry me forward to a place where everyone has a good word or a smile, and the sun is out for as long as I like. A river I could float on as my time grows close.
Thank you, Thomas. I'm just looking through some stuff. There's a fundraiser today for Heath and to handle some expenses. Looking through this and that and okay, let's get Jeffrey up here. See what he's got for us.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here, back for week number 390 of the weekly challenge on the topic of river. I'm recording here in my beautiful home studio, which is me with my iPhone and iTalk program, but since I've been furloughed, I don't get to look out the window onto M Street. While I'm doing this, I get to look at my wall. But in any event, I have two stories for you, so on with the stories. My first story is called Honeymoon. Standing on their stateroom's balcony, the couple watched the countryside move by as the ship left the river and slowly ventured into the ocean. Behind them, the sun sank slowly below the horizon, casting the water with a gentle orange glow. The woman shivered slightly in the cool evening air, and the man put his arm around her. Waves crested and crashed, causing the ship to bob slightly in the shallow coastal waters. A second marriage for both of them, he couldn't help think of it as a second chance as well, an opportunity to avoid the mistakes he had made the first time around. He knew, though, that the hard part was about to begin, that their ship had left the safety of the river for the uncertainties of the ocean, and sometimes the waves were very large. My second story is called Up the River. When Clyde was convicted of robbery for the first time, he didn't know much prison lingo. However, even he thought he knew what it meant to be sent up the river, so he was quite surprised to find himself on cleanup crew assigned to the state park upriver. Sporting an orange jumpsuit, he and his fellow convicts picked up trash left by antisocial tourists, trimmed trees, and cleared brush. It was unpleasant work in a pleasant environment. The best part of the work was the education Clyde received. In addition to a newfound appreciation for the outdoors, he learned the secrets of older, albeit not very successful, criminals, and planned his next three robberies.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I just read something a few minutes ago. A Turkish proverb. When the forest saw the axe approach, the trees said, "At least the handle is one of us." Interesting take on things. Let's try for a new person here in our midst. Looking around, seeing what's up. It's a man by the name of John Musico. He's got himself a YouTube channel out there that I've linked in the show notes. How about let's listen to John and see what he's got this week. Welcome to the podcast, John, and let's see what you've got.
The Journey of a River Named Emmanuel by John Musico. Emmanuel was born of the highest mountaintop, which was snowy white and looked down upon the world below. Given legs, Emmanuel meandered down the mountainside. As he cascaded from one region to another, he cleansed the earth in his path. Finally, Emmanuel's journey led to an arid land named Calvary, where the heat beat down upon him, transforming him to vapor. He floated higher and higher above the clouds, returning to the mountaintop, rejoining with his father. After he had ascended to the sky, there was no trace of his existence upon the land. Emmanuel wondered if he'd be remembered.
Thank you, John. And we're going to have a quiz at the end of the show. Will you remember Emmanuel? We'll see if anyone does. Remember Emmanuel in the comments. Say, "Hey, Emmanuel, I remember you. Yeah, back at that time. That was just a great time." And just put that in the comments in the at the site, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. You found it. Now, let's hang around. But cool. Come on back next week with the next topic, man. Everyone should stay. Everyone, don't leave me with these crazies. I'm the craziest of them all. Oh. Who's next? Well, Lizzie, of course. Haven't you been reading the show notes? It shows you the order that people are here. It shows you that people are here. They're here. Auburn's playing techno? Okay. So here's Lizzie and her story. I'm easily distracted today.
The river twisted and turned in a familiar path. When Rick saw that last turn, he was confused. It was blocked by debris, so he jumped off the boat to investigate. The more he tried to shove the debris aside, the deeper he was buried in it. First, he saw an arm. He got closer, carefully. The body was face down, bloated, scratched. Although disgusted by the looks of it, Rick turned it over and saw his own face. He remembered now. He had been lost in the river, looking for the way out for weeks after that storm. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcop.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I always love to hear her stories. I love to hear everybody's stories. Everyone, you included, all of you, each and every one. It's very important that you know that I reassure you constantly that I care, that I like to listen to you. I like to hear what you've got to say, what you've come up with, what you've put together, what you're sharing. That's what matters. CPU usage, 50%? What the heck am I doing that's taking 50%? I should probably start a backup. Download or generate a full site backup. Click. And let's send myself a reminder. I haven't done a backup for a week or two. All right, let's do generate backup. Once it's ready, it'll tell me. Okay. Backups are getting bigger and bigger. I may be storing more and more stuff. Who's next? Let's see. Richard. He's got some stuff for us. He said he was having some difficulty with the topic, but from the looks of things, I think he did just fine. How about we listen?
Good day to you. I have stories for you, and here they are. Over the course of the ensuing days, George had plenty of opportunity to get to know his newfound allies. Apart from the occasional sorties to scavenge supplies for the group, there was little else to occupy his time. He found himself gravitating towards Emily, a 30-something woman with dreadlocked hair and a decidedly New Age outlook on this situation. Life, she would say, is a river. We are caught in its current and swept along with it. Resisting its flow is pointless. George thought she was barking mad, but she amused him, and it helped pass the time. My second story is called Crossing Over. People wonder why I do this job and not something a little less creepy. I can understand, but every job has perks. It's a steady wage and no chance of being replaced by a machine or a sudden fall in demand. It's a skilled profession, and I'm not stuck behind an office desk all day. Then there's the people. You'd be amazed at the characters I get to meet. In fact, it's only a matter of time before our paths cross, and it's your turn to cross the river. And then you'll see, I'm the best damn ferryman there is. My last story this week is a little bit pretentious, but what the hell. It's called Against the Flow. A river of blood caused an ocean of tears. Emotions burst their banks and flooded the land, yet peace, it seems, was simply a bridge too far. The glib words of politicians washed over us, wave after wave of meaningless flotsam pouring from a wellspring of washed-out speechwriters. A fast-flowing current of rhetoric. We were drowning in propaganda. It was clear. The politicians didn't give a damn. The tide of public opinion turned. Anger overflowed, bubbling over in an outpouring of resentment. A watershed had been reached. Revolution. Finally, peace. And the soldiers began to stream back home. And that's all for this week. Speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. Always good to hear from you, and I look forward to what you're going to come up with the next topic of. No, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's keep it a secret. Let's not say anything just yet. Oh, I've got that. Okay, I need to put that on my phone. Got all sorts of stuff. Got a ringtone that I need to add. And I've got this. God, you can't have too many apps. I'm telling you, if you've got a 64-gig phone, 63 gigs of it's going to be apps, and then maybe a meg is going to be how you upload your brain to the singularity or whatever. And then you Pinterest it and Google it and Skype it, and it's all over the damn place. Speaking of all over the damn place, why isn't Cliff all over the damn place? He should be everywhere. I'm telling you, this dude, here, why don't you listen and try to prove me wrong?
Clyde stood on the moonlit bridge, looking down at the river. Thin ice covered the water near the shore, but here in the center, it flowed, dark and inviting. "Looks like you could drop a whole town in there and no one would ever find it," he said. He took a deep breath, building up his courage. "They'll probably say it was a cowardly thing to do, but a man can only be pushed so far. At least now, maybe I can find some peace." Then Clyde lifted his neighbor's musical Christmas yard statue and dropped it over the side.
Thank you, Cliff. You're scaring me. You're scaring me a lot. All of you people are scaring me, and it's not yet Halloween. I know that Halloween is soon, and a lot of you think, October, Halloween. But it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I don't hear lots of stories. Well, never mind. Maybe we should make that a topic. Although, we've already done pink, and pretty much everything is freaking pink at this point. The NFL referees throwing those foul flags that were pink? Who thought that up? These are the people that are trying to keep large men who hurt other large men from getting concussions. And what do? They come up with a stupid idea to give everyone pink towels and have a pink foul flag. Who came up with that idea? Oh, there's a pink towel on the ground. That must be a flag. Ugh. Next thing you know, some city is going to change all of their traffic lights to pink so that you have pink means stop, pink means slow down, and pink means go. There's too much of a good thing, but there's almost also too much of a dumb thing. Can we ease off on this and just have people sign checks on October 1st? Oh, wait, there's no money left because we have to sign up for health care we don't need. Although I've got my own health care. Oh, there are subsidies and all that other kickback stuff. Yeah, that'll make sense. In the end, we're all screwed. There, that's your moment of positivity. How about we move on and say hi to Tom now that I've brightened everybody's day? Hi, Tom.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. Again, tonight I have three stories. Let's start the continuation of a well-defined relationship partner. The center of Bozeman was triangulated by three rivers. The Tiber running north to south, the Arno east to west, the Rubicon running north by northwest. The island in the confluence of these rivers was called the Mayacopa. Along the banks of the Mayacopa stood the highest concentration of temples, synagogues, churches, mosques in the solar system. At its apex sat Maya Maxima Copa, with its newly ruined temple, the shattered remains of a mosaic depicting the eight-armed bringer of noodles. The Pastafarites poured over the bridge of size, thus crossing the Rubicon. Elia iacta est, thought Timmy. Okay, second story, the river. Alma, Sue, and Billy spent the summer skinny dipping in the river beside the refinery. Alma Sue, ever shy, always had Billy turn his back while she undressed. Billy dutifully turned and closed his eyes till he heard the splash. With the cloak of dark waters, she would sidle up to Billy. Despite the glow of her crucifix, Alma Sue felt safe in the river. Zombies can't swim, but they're damn good floaters. Prone to hyper-gag reflex, there was little chance they would attempt a bite in the water. As clusters floated by, you could hear, "Brains, brains." When I saw the topic, strains of Bruce Springsteen floated across my mind. Go down to the river, and into the river we dive. Being a contemporary of the Boss, I knew well the deeper meaning of that river. When everything was extracted, it was abandoned. A promise so deeply broken it can scarcely be captured in words. But he did. I got Mary pregnant, and man, that was all she wrote. Good Lord, that was two generations ago. What's this place going to look like when the rest of the hope is gone? Go down to the river.
Thank you, Tom. And I'd just like to say that apparently there is a way to resist the gag reflex. I saw this on Cracked, everybody's favorite site. You put your thumb in your palm and you squeeze it with your fingers. Feel free to report back if it worked, although you don't need to tell me the circumstances. I actually can use this. No, not for that reason. No, when I go to the dentist, and I've got an appointment coming up, I'm going to, I choke on the little digital thingy. They used to have those little x-ray tabs, but now they have these digital ones that are even bigger. I have a very small jaw. I only have 24 teeth, and yet my jaw is full. Yeah, it's that kind of evolutionary ha-ha-ha. So, apparently you can resist the gag reflex when they stick that stupid device in my mouth. I say, can I use the children's one? And they said, oh, you're a big grown man, not a child. And I'm like, fuck you, give me the little one. I'm paying you, bitch. And sure enough, I gag on it every time. So I'm going to try that gag reflex thing. And the thing is, if you do gag anyway, get your thumb out from your fist when you punch the dental hygienist. Okay? Although, it would be with my left hand, So my left hand has no strength in it whatsoever. I can, like, lift a grocery bag with it now. I've tried weights, I've tried all that. Nope, it's all messed up from the damage last year. Oh, well. At least it works. At least I can type with it. At least I can pick my nose with it, okay? That's all you need to do in Texas. Lift a beer, pick your nose, wave high, and do the gig'em sign and whatever. That's all you need in Texas. Oh, and to hold your beer out the window in your pickup truck. So I can't get disability for it. But I bet you in this economy, I can get disability for it. Maybe I should try. Okay, how about we go with Muncie? He's not on disability. He's the strongest man in the world.
Greetings, fun boy. Muncie here, bringing glad tidings to you in advance of the coming Devil's Night. I've figured out my costume. How about you? Well, while you're considering what to wear, here's a story. Pay close attention, because it might be the most important story you've ever heard. Or it might not. What the hell do I know? On the Subject of Wisdom by Christopher Monroe. Every river flows into the sea. It's the sort of thing that sounds immensely profound, pregnant with meaning. The sort of cone in which deep truths can be found, if only you find the wisdom within yourself to really look, to truly understand. And yet, if you stop to think about it, it's a completely meaningless turn of phrase, factually accurate, but with no more depth than the equally true ice is cold or the sun does shine. Nonetheless, say it to somebody after a few drinks, in the right context, and who knows? It might just get you laid. Broken Escalator on Smashwords and Podiobooks, Munzee Munzee on Twitter, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com for more of my flash fiction. I bid you adieu, fun boy, for I must now take my leave of you. I have revenge, after all, to plot. Revenge to plot. Revenge.
Did we ever have revenge as a topic? I guess I need to look that up. Should we have revenge as a topic? Should we? Should we plot? Should we plot revenge? Plot revenge as a topic? Plot revenge as a topic for the weekly challenge? No, not yet. Thank you, Muncie, the funnest boy of all. Who's up next? Why, I think it's Zachman. Zachman! Zachman is plotting revenge. Plaqueman. Have a sip. Ooh, by the way, I got Bailey's for my you-know-what day on Thursday. I got Bailey's. Bailey's revenge against my coffee, and I drank it yesterday. So I don't need to be drinking Bailey's in my coffee 2 days in a row. I may just turn my Bailey's in my coffee day into Saturday, and then Sunday I'll be recovering. Recovering with tea. Recovering with iced tea with some Torani flavor in it. We only have 5 flavors here. No? There's actually the Lazy Susan. Okay, there's a few bottles on that. But at work, I've got like 30, 40 bottles with pumps. It's crazy, man. Crazy, I tell you. And I'm obsessed. And what did I do? I bought more. It's like Belgian cookie. Sounds like a stripper name. What? Oh, Zachman. Okay, here's Zachman.
I thought you had such a good idea to take a boat to the river and head south for the winter, maybe ending up in the Red River, but you know how you thought all rivers flow the same way, south? Yeah, Joe, since all rivers run south, we'll get someplace warmer, maybe the Gulf of Mexico. That Welcome to Canada sign makes me think we took the wrong branch and are on the Red River of the North, which flows north. All rivers do flow the same direction, downhill. Hopefully you will really like spending the winter on Lake Winnipeg.
Actually, I'd love to spend the winter on Lake Winnipeg. Wouldn't us all? In a giant ice castle. A castle made of ice. Gigantic. For gigantic people like us. And we would spend our winter there, being gigantic and wintry in our castle on Lake Winnipeg. And I'm sure that's some form of poem. We should forget about that. Let's forget about spending our winter on Lake Winnipeg in the castle, the gigantic castle there where we spend our time in winter. Thank you, Zach, man. Enjoy the castle. Speaking of someone that should be in a castle in Lake Winnipeg. No, stop it. Serendipity. She has a story, and she doesn't sound like a robot at all.
Old Jake was legendary to those whose weekends were spent at the river. There wasn't an angler among us who hadn't lost a prize catch to him, or sat shivering on the riverbank throughout the long cold night, hoping to ensnare the wily pike. Jake was the source for many a yarn retold in the Fisherman's Arms, where he was known as the River Spirit. It was said with confidence that he'd never be caught, not by any mortal means at any rate. How wrong they were. It's amazing how effective a couple of sticks of dynamite can be.
Thank you, Serendipity. You know, we were going to go to the Renaissance Festival this weekend and get really drunk and really fat on fatty foods and drunky foods and wear costumes and look at other people wearing costumes, and instead we decided not to walk around in the mud. Yeah, it's raining all weekend. I looked at the forecast, and it said rain, and so I didn't go. Maybe next week or the week after. We say that every year. Every year, we'll go next week. We'll go next week, and then we've run out of weeks, and there aren't any weeks left. And we run out of weeks, and we're there, without Renaissance, without fatty, drunky foods, in costumes. But at least we didn't slog around in the mud. Who likes slogging around in the mud? I know someone. It's Bonchants and Sevi, or Sevi and Bonchants. They don't drag each other through the mud. They slog through it, happily, on Lake Winnipeg, in a castle made of ice on Lake Winnipeg in the winter, all slogging through the mud. We could build this up, make some fun with it. Now, how about I just play their damn story?
Crab Mariners, 100 word challenge. This week's challenge word is river. This is a collaborative work between Severina Halostar and Bonchants Longfall. River. River Street Library. Jim decided to make a detour to his local library on River Street prior to the start of his work week. 5 minutes to opening, there was a large crowd waiting for the doors to unlock. It had been a bitter cold night. Winter's chill lingered in the morning air as he gathered his collection of borrowed Edgar Allan Poe books. Jim remembered days when there was less talk of economic recovery and fewer people huddled to gain access to the warm River Street Library. Jim relished the comfort of his jacket against his skin, with hope in his heart.
It's good to have hope in your heart, but I think it's more important to have blood rushing through your heart, frequently. Oh, maybe a dozen or so, possibly 72 beats per minute. That's what I like. I like that. I like that a lot. Thank you, Sevi and Bonchants. Oh, wait, okay, my full backup is now completed. Ooh, I have a full backup, and it's completed. You know what that means. Downloaded for several hours. That's the point of backups. You make backups of what you need backed up. When was the last time you backed up something important? Think of something important. Now, think of backing it up. Have you backed it up? Good. It's very important that you back it up. Back everything up. your cat, your refrigerator. Back up your truck. Wait, better look where you're backing up. Don't want to run anyone over. Ha ha ha. I'm turning into Night Vale. All right. Oh, there's the backup file. All right, so we click once, and we do click download, and it is now downloading the backup. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. Now we click public HTML and MP3, and that's ready for us to upload the stories when we're done, which will be in about 20 years at this rate. I should probably just say, hey, it's time for Red Goddess. Probably read by Bonchance, because that Brocaley guy, he flaked. He flaked on us. He flaked on all of us. Where's the love? I think I'm going to go get some celery, and then I'm going to dip it in balsamic vinegar later on today. How's that for you? Here's Red Goddess. Let's find out how Lola's doing. Will she ever win?
Crab Mariner's 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word is river. This is a write by Red Goddess talk with Marie on the challenge word river. This is another Lola story. River by Red Goddess. There is a river that runs from Lola's neighborhood to the hotel. Many residents treasure it as if it were the Seine itself. Lola gazes through the foggy bus windows with sadness as she watches the fishermen, rowers, boaters and ducks on the water, soaking in nature's beauty. It occurs to Lola she has never taken a walk, had a picnic, or even rode a ferry to the many islands close by. It's ironic that tourists seem to explore the city fully, more so than those who live here.
Well, isn't that the point of being a tourist? You visit, and then you get to see all the things that people work so hard in that city to maintain, to keep going, to surround with places to live, to eat, to have fun, and to have their fillings filled. Yes, because dentists are people too. People that sometimes you have to punch because they make you gag. Out there, on the castle, on Lake Winnipeg in the winter, as the Red River flows up into Lake Winnipeg, we float merrily up the stream. No, down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Is life a dream to you? Let me know in the comments. Say it's a dream. Please tell me it's a dream, and that we'll all wake up. One person who's awake right now is Danny. He's probably awake, waiting for this show to go up. I know I am. I can't wait for it to be up. Because I'll go get my celery with my balsamic to dip the celery in. I sometimes get carrots, but I never get around to those carrots. So, kale? Do kale? No, that's disgusting. But I can do cucumbers. Cucumbers and balsamic are good. What do you think? What would you dip in balsamic? Last night, I dipped popcorn. It was good. Try it. It forces you to be patient. If you're one of these, you know, I'm going to grab a hunk of popcorn and, you know, shove it in my mouth. No. One at a time. One at a time. Then you'll learn why the popcorn bags are so small compared to the big pig buckets at the movie theater. They don't give you balsamic at the movie theater because they want you to spend a lot. Not to eat a lot, but to spend a lot. Spend a lot. Perhaps I'll go see Gravity on the way home this week. That would be fun. Go see Gravity. Gravity is visible. Plus, Sandra Bullock, I mean. What would she be like in zero-G? What would George Clooney be like in zero-G? What would Sandra Bullock and George Clooney be like in zero-G? I bet you there were people that were asking that for decades. And what happened? The strong side and the peacemaker. At least we've solved that problem. Here's Danny.
Take three. Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 390, River. The movie, A River Runs Through It, was the first thing that came to mind, as heavy rain caused the river behind my home to flood its banks. Now, a river literally runs through my home. Walls are missing, but frame and foundation is holding strong. Hopefully, FEMA will take that in consideration before hiking my flood insurance premiums. Thanks, Florida, for not presenting any legal challenge to the rate hikes, filing a friend of the court brief supporting Mississippi's case doesn't help. I have no idea what this has to do with fly fishing, Brad Pitt, or rural Montana.
Well, it has everything to do with it. Go back and listen. You know it has everything to do with Montana. I should have liked to have seen Montana. Thank you, Danny. I need to take a sip. Oh, man. But no, there's no Belgian cookie in my tea. That's for coffee. For crazy people and their coffee. Because they're crazy. I don't have the bike here anymore. The room feels wide open now. There was a coworker who said, first there was one that said, there's a bike out in the rain, you better go get it. Coworker, it's a crappy rusty bike, I just use it. And so I saw that and I said, somebody who has a crappy rusty bike who needs a new bike. Well, it's not really new, it's a year old, but barely ridden. I washed the blood off of it. And we brought it in on Thursday, and I said, here. And he was like, my God, if you ever need it back, whatever. It's like, no, I'm too fat and old and tired to ride it. Here, you and your youth and vibrancy, enjoy. Haven't heard from him in a few days. Maybe it's gone ahead and killed him. The accursed bike. That damn accursed... Ooh, I should write this into a story. The damn accursed bike. Hold on. Let me bring up wordcounter.net. The damned accursed bike tried to kill me, but it killed my coworker instead. I'm going to be really embarrassed if he's listening. I know that there are a few coworkers that do listen. It wasn't my intention to kill him. He's actually very nice and polite. But, you know, if somebody's got to go, really, I may find it hard to sleep at night, but that's what Ambien is for. Oh, what? Oh, okay, hold on. Okay, we've got more stories. Norville Joe, he doesn't have a river running through him. That would hurt a lot. Here he is, with no mention of Durgle or Flypaper Boy. Maybe he's come up with something new. Let's find out.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 390 with the prompt of River. Well, since this is the second week of October, just past Lawrence's birthday, and exactly 5 years since my first 100-word story, I thought I would revisit a spot that I visited in that first, actually the first two stories. You've heard of Hell's Kitchen. Well, this was Hell's Grocery Store. And since my daughter's visiting from Colorado and sleeping in my recording room, I'm recording directly into the laptop. So you'll just have to put up with the bad sound. If I can put up with it, you can put up with it. So here's my story. Yellow fluorescent tubes flickered and went dark, robbing the shopper of their meager luminescence. A brown glow beyond the register implied an avenue of escape. The cashier, his waxy corpse, a silhouette against a shadow, sat on his stool, a rigor mortis guard. Behind himself, buried in the darkness, a frozen section compressor thumped, rattled, then hissed its last dying breath. A mouse, alone, skittered past his feet. Then another, and more. A river of peeping, squeaking vermin flowed down the aisle, past the rotting sentry, and away, free. The shopper didn't move, couldn't move. Frozen, alone forever in his hell. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe, and happy Norval Joe-iversary. We should all celebrate the Norval Joe-iversary together. On the count of three, let's all put comments in the comments of the site saying, happy Joe, whatever. Thank you, Joe. And yes, it was my birthday recently, a few days ago. And what did I do for my birthday? I gave the bike to my coworker. Haven't seen him since. I hope it didn't kill him, because it's so hard to get good help. Although, I wouldn't mind the referral fee. What? Oh. But another thing about that is, I got a flood of messages. But then again, you were a part of the flood, weren't you? If you weren't, you should feel very, very self-conscious and guilty. Actually, there was somebody... I was expecting... Is it wrong to expect a message from someone? A simple message? Even if you're on the outs over some things. Something so simple. Especially when they keep asking you for... No, never mind. We don't do that. We don't do that kind of thing. It's considered wrong, but really, why couldn't they have just sent me two goddamn letters? HB. That's all. Texted me it even. That's all they had to do. Why couldn't they have? Yes, I have a right to feel indignant about this. All the shit that I put up with from them. Whatever. I should celebrate those that did remember. That even if it was just seeing a notice on the corner of Facebook, they clicked once, typed one sentence, and that was it. That was more than what this other person did. And that... I should appreciate the good. Appreciate the good, damn it. This iced tea is good. I appreciate that. My phone, it's quite fancy and reliable, and it's on, and I can tap it, and it works, and I appreciate that. My laptop, my mouse, this headset, these shorts that I'm wearing, I appreciate them all. I will appreciate the celery that I get, that I dip into the balsamic vinegar that I appreciate. And I can never have enough of that stuff. Although it's probably tearing me apart inside. You shouldn't be drinking it by the gallon, I suppose. Oh well, it's good with Torani syrup. Belgian cookie. What? Oh, play Justin's story? Okay, here's Justin's story.
New Space Turtle, just Lumister here from the spaceturtle.com. I need to start doing this before it's all late. This one's not about any specific video game, just kind of a generality you come across in some games. I am a video game character. I have mighty power. I can carry 50 guns. I can hold 400 potions. I can survive the onslaught of innumerable foes. I fight with steel and magic. I can survive catching fire, getting shot with arrows, and struck with falling objects. I can leap over chasms, swing on vines, and slide down snowy hills. Rock slides? No problem. Car chases? Easy. Drive a tank? I could do that and fire the guns at the same time. But if I put as much as 1 foot in water, I drown. What is the deal?
Just 1 foot in water. You were playing Ultima 8, weren't you? Yeah, that was a fun one. Where you just, even come close to it, it's like sploosh. It's like, really? The mightiest of all mighty heroes can't freaking swim. Whatever. Thank you, Justin. More? Okay, we've got Tura here. Okay. We've got a few more folks, and then we'll be done, and then I'll post and announce and do that other stuff, and then get my celery with the balsamic. How many of you are actually writing down on your grocery list, celery with balsamic, that'd actually be pretty good? No, you're probably doing, maybe we should get some ranch dressing. Oh, you ranch dressing addicts, you crazy ranch dressing addicts. What? Oh, okay. Tura. Story. Now.
The moving city was built 1,000 years ago at the mouth of a great river, well placed for trade by sea, river, and land. The city prospered, but over the centuries the river gradually swelled its flow, spreading over its banks and forming new branches. Buildings close to the river sagged into softening ground. Their owners abandoned them and rebuilt upstream. And so, as the river mouth developed into a great, swampy delta, the city drifted miles inland. At last it reached the rocky ground where it now stands. But by tradition, they still call it the Moving City.
So, when it's moving time in the city, do you just stand still and the city moves around you? That's the question. And the three movers. If they all move at once, then the city moves. That's just crazy, man. You're scaring me. Thank you for scaring me, Tura. This bump on my nose. Oh, it's my nose. Okay. We have more? After finishing the Lakshmi plot, which all of you should have listened to by now, if you're not, you need to have a doctor's note. Post it up in the comments. Singh. He's doing some sort of in residence. Let me read what he's got here. Let me read. He had it right here. He is starting in media res, a novel already in progress. Ooh, he's gunning for the PhD. Man, he's going to be Dr. Singh. This is going to be cool. We'll all celebrate. We should already be celebrating the Norval Joe anniversary, but we'll also have this to celebrate. He'll be Dr. Monkey, I think. I don't know. Tom controls the monkeys. I don't make monkeys. I only train them and post their stories. Speaking of which, here's Singh.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. This week and in coming weeks, I want to share with you new parts of a work in progress set between Australia and India. It travels via North America and Europe, various episodes visiting relatives, etc. In this episode, the main character, an Australian who goes by the name of Yogi, and his French-Canadian but Australian citizen wife, Margot, with two cranky daughters from a previous marriage, are now sightseeing in Chichester in West Sussex in Britain. Later, they get a taxi back to their friend's cottage in Dimple Lane. Lunch and double ice cream. A signpost walk to museums, pubs, a flower show, cream tea. An hour's stroll around the Roman wall that's been 5 meters high 2,000 years. The girls were not adventurers, just bored, and dragged the little heels on down the path far from history. Back to Australia, talking about Papa. Can we call later? I'm tired, Mummy, moaned Pauline. Let's go. While Adele played glass eyes. Yet poor Margot knew the game was up. It was time to get a sleepy cab at the square. Away they went, Miss Walkman hardly seeing the languid river. Miss Glass Eyes paid no heed to the bumpy bridge, stonemasoned where those halos of black gnats were fish food hour upon the village water. A man was casting a fly beyond the midges. "Stop the cab," said Yogi. "Do we have to?" the girls complained. "Just for a second," he said. The driver stopped and Yogi wound down his window to see the line whiplash and strike as the leaping fish made its escape across the short, fat river. But the fisherman worked his line and soon all heard the scream of the reel as the tussle then ensued. The fish lunged to the right until the angler checked him. Then he dived, causing the rod to dip. But the spring of it was too strong, and he had to rise, shattering the plate glass surface, its back smacking like a hand, and plunge down deeper, fighting the line taut against his body, then tugging it away from its mouth. The fish fought with water, rising, diving to gain leverage with its tail, as if to ram the enemy. But it grew tired, and soon it was over. The fisherman reeled in and scooped up his shining silver in the net. "He caught it, Mummy," said the fierce Pauline, while Adele kept silent. She was ever thoughtful. While Yogi was remembering his father, the fisherman, the outdoor sportsman chap, so deft and quick, unlike inadequate Yogi, who once went fishing up the Shoal Haven River, while the expert coaxed a big brown trout from its hide hole with a spinner cast out and dropped below the spitting falls. The fish was always himself, thrashing against Superior Dad. He flinched, running up the window. "Let's go, driver," he said, and soon the taxi was puttering homebound into Dimple Lane.
I believe that more people should be named Yogi. Let us all change our names to Yogi. There we go. Ooh, maybe Muncie will call everybody Yogi next month. That would be cool. I think it would be cool. And so that makes it cool. Thank you, Singh. Soon to be Dr. Singh. That could be cool. Having doctors. A dude with a doctorate in on this podcast with you. You could learn things. Ask him questions at his site, chrismooneysing.com, or you can ask him here, and hopefully he'll post the answers over there, as well as in the comments. I keep saying in the comments. No one will ever post in the comments. Actually, they do sometimes, but they just do that to spite me. To spite me, I tell you. Some other person that does things to spite me? Planet Z. Yeah, he does that.
While Professor Walls works on the time machine, the rest of us deploy the emergency environment bubble. There's no telling what insects or bacteria are out there that could kill us all in a microsecond. Or, I suppose, bacteria that we carry which could wipe out all life on the planet. We've sent out a few drones to scout around and take pictures. It's mostly simple plants and pond scum around here. I think we overshot our mark by a few hundred million years. Eventually, Professor Wall says we're good to go. I hope he doesn't overshoot the mark again.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories about the topic of river, inspired by river, possibly in spite of river. You wrote, you recorded, you shared.
You can share it further by going to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, click on the various share it buttons, grab the URL, post it on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, like and plus one, and get it out there so that folks know that you have written and you write with other people that write and record and share. No, really, why would you not? It's just one or two buttons. Is that really all that hard? I think it is, which is why I never do it. Next week's topic is Edge. Send that along. Think about Edge. Are you feeling edgy? A hedge? Sledge? You be the judge. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.